بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 29th hadith from this blessed compilation, Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار قال لقد سألت عن عظيم وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله عليه تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير الصوم جنة والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل ثم تلا قوله تعالى تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون ثم قال ألا أخبركم برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه قلت بلى يا رسول الله قال رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله قلت بلى يا رسول الله فأخذ بلسانه ثم قال كف عليك هذا فقلت يا نبي الله وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به فقال ثكلتك أمك يا معاذ وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. So the 29th hadith has been collected by the virtuous companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, who said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I said, O Messenger of Allah, أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَمَلٍ يُدْخِلُنِيَ الْجَنَّةِ, inform me of an action which enters me into Jannah, وَيُبَاعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ, and which distances me from the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ, that the matter which you have asked about is a great matter. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, however, it is easy for the one for whom Allah makes it easy. تَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, then you should worship Allah alone and do not ascribe partners to Him. تُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer. تؤتي الزكاة, give your zakah. تصوم رمضان, fast the month of Ramadan. وتحج البيت, and make hajj to the house, i.e. the Kaaba. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير, should I not direct you to the gates of goodness? الصوم جنة, fasting is a shield. وَالصَّدَقَةَ, and as for charity, تُطْفِئُ الْخَطَائِيَ, charity, it wipes away the sins like water extinguishes the fire. And also the prayer of a man in the middle of the night. ثُمَّ تَلَى, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the saying of Allah, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ, their sides forsake their beds, meaning their bodies leave their beds, until he recited Ya'malun, what they used to do. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ala ukhbirukum bi ra'sil amr, Should I not inform you of the core of the matter, وَعُمُودِهِ and its pillar, وَذِرْوَةِ سَنَامِهِ and its highest peak? قُلْتُ بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the head or the core of this affair, it is al-Islam. وَعَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ, and its pillar is as-salah. وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ, and its highest peak is al-Jihad. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَلِكِ كُلِّهِ, should I not inform you about the foundation of all of this? قُلْتُ بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took hold of his tongue like this. And then he said, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا, that control this, or restrain this. فَقُلْتُ, so I, Mu'adh, I said, يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, O Prophet of Allah, أَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ, will we be taken to account for what we speak about? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. Is there anything that throws people into the fire upon their faces or upon their noses except by the harvest of their tongues? And this hadith has been reported by At-Tirmidhi, and he said it is hadith hasanun sahih. So this hadith has been narrated by the virtuous companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. And he is Mu'adh ibn Jabal ibn Amr al-Khazraji al-Ansari. Al-Ansari meaning from the people of Al-Madinah, the inhabitants of Al-Madinah. And he is As-Sayyid al-Imam Abu Abdurrahman Mu'adh ibn Jabal al-Ansari al-Khazraji al-Madani al-Badari, from the people of Medina and from those people who partook in the battle of Al-Badr. He is the virtuous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the great faqih and scholar of Al-Islam, Qari al-Qur'an, the reciter and the teacher of the Qur'an. And he narrated many ahadith and much knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this virtuous companion Mu'adh, he accepted Islam in Al-Madinah at the peak of his youth, in his teenage years, when he was 18 years old. And Al-Dhahabi mentions that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the Ansar gathered for the pledge of allegiance, Al-Aqaba. And at that time, he didn't have any hair on his face, meaning he was young. And he fought the various battles with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, starting with Al-Badr and up to and including the conquest of Mecca. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquered Mecca and he returned to Al-Madinah, he left Mu'adh radiallahu anhu in Mecca to teach the people the Qur'an and to teach them the affairs of Al-Islam. And then after this, towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent him to Yemen to go teach the people and take Islam to the people there. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he only returned after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he died 18 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was one of those many companions who died in the plague which affected Sham. So at that time, the 18th year of Hijri, there was a great plague which affected Sham. And many companions, many ulama, many of the tabi'een, they died in this plague. amongst them Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and also amongst them Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And this was after they had conquered Sham. And as for the merits and the virtues of this companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal, there are many ahadith and many narrations regarding him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, خُذُ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةٍ. Take the Qur'an, learn the Qur'an from four. Min ibn Mas'ud, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Wa Ubay, and Ubay, meaning Ubay ibn Ka'ab. Wa Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Wa Salim, Mawla Abi Hudhayfa. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he described Mu'adh as being the most knowledgeable regarding fiqh. He said, وَأَعْلَمُ أُمَّتِي بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذ. That the most well-versed person from my ummah with regards to halal and haram, meaning fiqh, is Mu'adh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he not only affirmed that Mu'adh is a scholar, but rather he's at the head of the scholars. He said, يَجِيءُ مُعَاذٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَمَامَ الْعُلَمَةِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الْعُلَمَىٰ. That Mu'adh will come on the day of resurrection, and he is amamul ulama. He will be the imam of the scholars, and he will be standing in front of the ulama. And in the saying of Allah, inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa walam yaku min al-mushrikeen. In which Allah said, verily Ibrahim, i.e. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, kana ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he in of himself, he was the ummah. Qanitan lillah, devoted to Allah. Hanifa, a person of at-tawheed. Walam yakun min al-mushrikeen. And he was not from the people of ash-shirk. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spoke about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Inna Mu'adhan kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. That verily Mu'adh, he was ummah, and he was qanitan lillah, and he was hanif. Those who were around Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, they said, Ghalita Abu Abdurrahman. That perhaps Ibn Mas'ud has made a mistake. Because Allah said in this ayah, Inna Ibrahima kana ummah. That it was Prophet Ibrahim who was the ummah. Qanitan lillah, hanifa. This is a description of Ibrahim alayhi salam, not of Mu'adh. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he turned to the people. He said, Atadaruna mal ummah wa mal qanit. Do you understand the meaning of ummah? And do you know the meaning of being al qanit? He said, Al ummah alladhi yu'allimu an-nasa khayra. That the meaning of ummah is somebody who teaches the people goodness. Walqanit, and the meaning of alqanit, almuti'u lillahi wa rasulih, is the one who is obedient to Allah and his messenger. And then he said, wakadhalika kana Mu'adh. And this is how Mu'adh was. Mu'alliman nas khair. He used to teach the people goodness. Wa muti'u lillahi wa rasulih. And he was obedient to Allah and his messenger. And also, Al-A'mash, he narrates from Abu Sufyan a story or an example of the understanding of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And he mentions something which occurred between Umar and Mu'adh radiallahu anhumah. And Abu Sufyan said, حدثني أشياخ منا أن رجلا غاب عن امرأته سنتين. He said that some of our scholars, they mentioned to me that a man, he was absent from his wife for approximately 2 years. فجاءت وهي حبلا. So this woman came to Umar رضي الله عنه, and she is pregnant. فأتت عمر. So she came to Umar. فَهَمَّ بِرَجْمِهَا. And Umar, he was determined to have her stoned. Because this pregnancy, it's a clear indication of a zina. How can her husband be absent for this amount of time? And now she's carrying a baby. فَقَالَ لَهُ مُعَاذ. So then Mu'adh said to him, إِنْ يَكُ لَكَ عَلَيْهَا سَبِيلٌ فَلَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَى مَا فِي بَطْنِهَا سَبِيلٌ. That perhaps you have a right to stone her. However, you have no right to end the life of the baby which is in the womb of her. فَتَرَكَهَا. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he allowed her to live. فَوَضَعَتْ غُلَامًا. So this woman, she then gave birth to a baby boy. بَانَ أَنَّهُ يَشْبَهُ أَبَاهُ. And it became very clear that this young baby resembles the man, i.e. his father, her husband. فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ. So then when the man came, he said, هَذَا بْنِي. This is my son. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he realized how wrong he was and the fiqh of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, عَجِزَتِ النِّسَاءُ أَنْ يَلِدْنَ مِثْنَ مُعَاذ. That women are not able to give birth to the likes of Mu'adh anymore. Meaning no woman will ever give birth to somebody like Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. لَوْلَا مُعَاذ لَهَلَكَ عُمَر. Had it not been for Mu'adh and his understanding and his knowledge, Umar would have destroyed himself in that he was ready to stone the woman. Wallahu a'lam. So this hadith, a great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned matters which enter a person into Jannah and matters which distance a person from the fire. So he mentioned righteous actions, good deeds, which enter a person into paradise. And he also mentioned one of the most dangerous matters which may enter a person into the fire, and that is the statements of the tongue. So whoever allows his tongue to freely speak may enter into the fire, na'udhu billah. And whoever controls his tongue distances himself from the fire. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the core part of our deen. What is it? Al-Islam. And the supporting pillar of our deen, which is as-salah. And also the highest peak and the highest sacrifice of our religion, which is al-jihad fi sabilillah. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة. Inform me of an action which enters me into Jannah. Jazakallah khair. ويباعدني عن النار. And tell me of an action which will keep me safe from the fire, distance me from the fire. And this question, it shows us the ambition and the focus of the Sahaba. That Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he didn't ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell me about a good career. Tell me about the way for me to become rich. Or give me some authority in a particular state. Rather, he said, tell me about entering into Jannah and staying away from the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. That this thing which you are asking about, it isn't a simple matter, or it isn't something which is minute. Rather, this is a great matter which you are asking about. Because if a person enters into Jannah and distances himself from the fire, then he has succeeded. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, when he was explaining this statement, he mentioned some beautiful words. He said, Ay wallahi azim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ azim. The thing which you are asking about is a great matter. It's a great thing. And Ibn Uthaymeen said, Ay wallahi azim. Yes, by Allah, this is a great thing. هَذِهِ هِيَ الْحَيَاةِ. Because this is the true life. And تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. that you enter into paradise, وَتَبْتَعِدْ عَنِ النَّارِ, and that you are distanced from the fire. هَذَا هُوَ الْفَوْزُ وَالْفَلَاحِ, this is true success. This is the real salvation. Because Allah said in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازِ, whoever is removed from the fire and is entered into the Jannah, he has succeeded. وَلِهَذَا وَصَفَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِأَنَّهُ عَظِيمٌ, and this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he described this request as being عظيم, something which is great. وَلَكِنْ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, however, alhamdulillah, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, even though your request and your question is so great, however, the answer is easy for the one for whom Allah makes it easy. Ibn Uthameen said, Allahumma yassirhu alayna ya rabbal alameen. And the reason why the answer is easy, even though the request is so great, because our religion is a religion which is easy. And the fuqaha, they mention that Islam, mabniyun alal yusr, Islam is built upon ease. The obligations of Islam are easy. And whenever there is any difficulty, then there are allowances which Islam gives us. And Allah said in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ, verily Allah wants ease for you. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ, and Allah doesn't want difficulty for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would send his companions to the people to guide them, to teach them, to command them, he would give them the same message. يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, make things easy for the people. Don't make things difficult for the people. بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, give people the glad tidings. Don't make people flee away. فَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ, verily, you have only been sent to make things easy for the people. You haven't been sent to be excessive and make things difficult for the people. So therefore, what are the matters which enter a person into Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ, make ibadah of Allah. And the word ibadah, the ulama differed with regards to what is the true essence of al-ibadah. And they said, al-ibadah, linguistically, it comes from the word at-tadhallul. Al-ibadah, this word, al-ibadah, linguistically in the Arabic language, from at-tadhallul. And the meaning of at-tadhallul is complete submission, being very open. Like the Arabs say, الطريق المعبد. الطريق المعبد, meaning the road or the street which is well trodden, easy for people to walk on. And the link is, or the connection is, that this is how your ibadah should be. So we don't stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship as if we are doing him a favor. Rather, we have to stand in front of Allah with worship, with tadhallul, as if you are in need of Allah, in complete submission to Allah, like a well-trodden path, weak in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say that the meaning of al-ibadah is a tadhallul lillahi mahabbatan wa ta'zima, is for a person to have humility and submission in front of Allah with mahabbah and at-ta'zeem, with love and exaltation. So at-tadhallul, when you have humility in front of Allah in your worship, and when you feel in complete submission to Allah in terms of worship, then you open yourself to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you show your need in front of Allah. And when you have al-muhabba, love of Allah, this pushes you to do good deeds. And when you have at-ta'zeem, exalting Allah, then this pushes you to stay away from sinning. So the point is that this is how our ibadah should be. That when we stand in salah, when we fast in Ramadan, when we raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it shouldn't be with arrogance or as if we are doing a favor to Islam or we are doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, ibadah is at-tadallul. Ibadah is lowering yourself in front of Allah and having humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't be like those people whom Allah mentioned in the Quran, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا, that they mention to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as if they have done a favor to you by accepting al-Islam. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. And Allah told the Prophet to reply to them, that don't think you're doing a favor to me by accepting Islam. Whoever worships Allah only benefits himself. And whoever disobeys Allah only harms his own self. And therefore a person has to worship Allah mahabbatan wa ta'azima, out of love of Allah and exalting Allah and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, la tushriku bihi shay'a, and do not commit shirk. Do not direct any of worship to other than Allah. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayers. وَتُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةِ, and give your zakah. وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانِ, and fast Ramadan. وَتَحَجُّ الْبَيْتِ, and do the hajj towards the Kaaba. So these are the pillars of Islam. These are the most important obligations of Islam. And therefore whoever fulfills these obligations enters into Jannah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave Mu'adh more. He said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ, should I not inform you of the avenues of goodness, the gates of goodness? He said, أَصَوْمُ جُنَّةِ, that fasting is a shield or a protection. Meaning when a person fasts, he protects himself in this dunya and also the akhirah. How does a person protect himself in this dunya from fasting? That whilst you're in a state of fasting, you're protecting yourself from the desires. To the extent that if a person insults you or says something to you, your fasting prevents you from replying. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in sabakum ahadun, if somebody oppresses you, insults you, swears to you and you're fasting, then you should say, inni sa'im, I am fasting. And also this fasting and then protects you in the akhirah, the hereafter, from the punishment. And then he said, was sadaqa tutfi'ul khati'ata kama yutfi'ul ma'a an-nar, that charity, it wipes away the sins, it extinguishes the sins, just like water extinguishes the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said sadaqa, charity. He didn't say how much charity or what type of charity. So therefore a person should try to give something in charity, whether it is a lot or a little, whether it is every week or every month, whatever a person can afford. So if you're a student, for example, and you don't have an income, give £1, give £5, give £10, whatever you are able to do so. And contemplate the example which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used. He used the example of water and fire. How quickly water puts out fire. This is how quickly sadaqah, charity, wipes away sins. And also the fire, it burns, it destroys, it darkens, it kills. Like this, the sins, they destroy and they kill. As for water, it gives life. and it cleans. And like this charity, it gives life to a person and it cleans a person from the effects of sins. And therefore, all of us, we give charity whatever we are able to do so to extinguish the sins. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَصَلَاتُ الرَّجُلْ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. And also, another thing which extinguishes the sins is a person praying at the middle of the night, meaning قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ. I.e., there may be a person who isn't able to extinguish his sins with charity because he doesn't have money. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave another avenue, that if you don't have money with you to give charity, then you're able to pray nawafil. So pray 2, 4, 8, 11 nawafil, witr, and also this is extinguishing the sins. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited the ayah, tatajafa junubuhum anil madaji', that the people of righteousness, those who want their sins to be forgiven, they forsake their beds, meaning at night. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And they call out to their Lord in fear and in desire. Meaning, when they think about their sins, then they invoke Allah in fear of their sins and in fear of His punishment. And when they remember the reward of Allah and the mercy of Allah, طَمَعًا, then they call out to Allah, desiring His reward and hoping for His mercy. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they give in charity from some of that which we have provided for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And this min in Arabic, it is known as min lit-tab'eedh. That min from what we have provided them, meaning some of what we have provided them, they give in charity. So Islam doesn't require from us that we have to sacrifice all of our wealth for charity and we cannot enjoy our wealth. Or that we have to sacrifice all our time for Islam and we cannot enjoy ourselves. No. Rather, Allah only obligates upon us some of what He has provided for us. So Allah has given us a lot, and all He wants from us is that from this lot which Allah has given, give something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And nobody knows that which has been hidden from them, from the delight of the eye, as a reward for that which they used to do. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ. Should I not inform you of the core of the religion, or the head of the religion, وَعَمُودِهِ, and the pillar of the religion, وَذِرْوَةِ سَنَامِهِ, and the highest peak or the summit of the religion. He said, رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the head of this affair, it is al-Islam. And the meaning of Islam, i.e. al-Tawheed, i.e. al-Istislam. Because the meaning of Islam is al-Istislam. And al-Istislam, it means complete submission. And this is al-Tawheed. So the head of al-Islam, the core of Islam is al-Tawheed. That you completely submit yourself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ. And the supporting pillar of this religion, it is the prayer, i.e. the obligatory prayers. And therefore, the one who doesn't pray is like a building which has no pillars. And it isn't possible for a building to remain upright if the pillars are destroyed. وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ. And the highest peak, meaning the greatest sacrifice which a person can make, is al-jihad fi sabilillah. And then he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَلِكِ كُلِّهِ. And should I not inform you of the foundation of all of this? Meaning everything which has proceeded in the hadith, should I tell you the foundation of all of it? فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took hold of his tongue like this. And he said, "Kuffa alayka hada." That if you control this, then this will enter you into Jannah. And if you control this, then this will keep you safe from the fire. Meaning, don't loosen the reins of your tongue. Don't allow your tongue to speak and insult and gossip and backbite and swear. Rather, discipline your tongue, restrain your tongue, control what you are saying. And this we have mentioned in previous ahadith. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever has iman in Allah on the final day, then let him speak with goodness or remain silent. And the best way for a person to control his tongue, although it's not easy, is first of all, cultivate yourself upon silence. And this was something which our Salaf, they were known by. And now it is very rare. So if a person reads the biographies of the great imams of this religion, before they mention the hifz and the knowledge and the ibadah and the fiqh of the imam, they mention his silence. وَكَانَ صَمْتًا. And he was silent. He was known for his silence. So this silence and controlling the tongue is something which is praised in Islam. And it is from ar-rujula, from manhood, from masculinity, that a person is measured in what he says. He controls what he says. He protects his dignity in that which he's speaking about. So a person jokes, but doesn't joke too much. A person socializes, but doesn't socialize too much. And like this. And then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Nabiyallah, O Prophet of Allah, أَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. That are we going to be punished and held accountable for just words? Meaning, I can understand a person being held accountable for stealing. I understand. Because you have taken somebody's right. I understand a person being held accountable for beating and oppressing and violence. Because you are oppressing and hurting somebody. I understand acts of shirk. Because you are prostrating in front of an idol. A physical action of shirk. However, words are only words. It's not like you've physically done something. So why is a person going to be held accountable for just the words? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to him how great the affair is. He said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. A, meaning, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. And this is an expression which is used in the Arabic meaning, and the literal meaning isn't intended. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh, he isn't making a dua to Allah for this. Rather, it's an expression which is used to show somebody how severe this action is. Encouraging Mu'adh to listen and to think about what he is saying. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will only be dragged to the fire on their faces or on their noses because of the harvest of their tongues. Meaning in this life, in this dunya, the tongue was sowing the seeds. Insulting, swearing, backbiting, an-namima, destroying people's relationships, spreading corruption. The seeds were sown in this dunya. The harvest of these seeds will be in the akhirah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in a hadith about the severe effects of the tongue. He said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَةٍ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. That a person, he makes a statement and pays no attention or no importance to the statement which he made. The Prophet said, يَرْفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ And because of this statement, Allah will raise his ranks in Jannah. وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ And another person, he makes a statement which angers Allah, لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا Pays no attention to the statement which he has made. يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمْ And yet he enters into Jahannam because of this statement. So this hadith shows us the effects of what we say. That you may make a statement and you attach no importance to this statement. It might just be a word that you say to a young person. It might just be a text that you send somebody. It may be a hadith which you forward to a friend or family member. And maybe the effects of this statement, or this hadith, or this text message, it might be felt 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line. You might be passing by a young Muslim, and you mention to him something about seeking knowledge. And then you've forgotten about it. You went home, you're playing with your children, you're eating food, you've forgotten about the young boy and what you said. And because of your statement, he may become a great scholar of Al-Islam. You may send a text message to a friend who's going through some difficult time, and you know, and you pay no attention, no importance to what you have said to that person. And yet that person is relieved from the anxieties of the dunya because of the text message which you sent to him. So Allah raises your ranks in Jannah. And also the opposite. You may make a statement which in your eyes is insignificant. Careless statement. Yet it may hurt a person, misguide a person, keep a person away from Islam. And because of this, a person enters into the fire because of that statement. So this hadith, it gives us a principle that any statement you make, any good statement, don't belittle it in your eyes. But rather think, how great is it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also any sin or any evil, don't belittle it. Even if it's only a text message. Rather think, how severe is it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَةٍ That a person, he says something. This also includes text messages, a post, something you put on your social media, a tweet. And therefore you have to always be careful of what you're mentioning, what you're saying. Because it might be insignificant with you, but the effect it may have on somebody else may be very great or may be very severe. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the benefits of this hadith, is entering into Jannah and being saved from the fire, azim, something which is great. This is the real success. But at the same time, easy. Because Islam is easy. Easy for the one whom Allah makes it easy. And therefore one of the du'as which you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for ease. Allahumma yassirna alayna deenana. Oh Allah, make our religion easy for us. Allahumma ahfad alayna deenana. Oh Allah, protect our religion for us. Allahumma asimna minal fitan. Oh Allah, save us from the fitan. The ease of Islam. The foods which are halal are many. The foods which are haram are only a few. The drinks which are halal are many. The drinks which are haram are only a few. The places which you can enjoy yourself upon the earth are many. The places which are haram are only a few. So Islam is easy. Even the greatest act of Islam, the pillar of Islam, which is As-Salah, what is it? 5 daily prayers. Each prayer takes what? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Meaning from 24 hours, your 5 salawat may not take more than 30 minutes. And then after this, it becomes even more easy. So you're at work, you can't pray in the masjid, okay, pray at your workplace. You can't find water to make wudu, okay, make a tayammum. You're traveling somewhere, okay, shorten your prayers. You're on a journey, combine your prayers. If you can't combine them later, bring it earlier. And vice versa. And like this. So Islam is easy. And then if you're in a situation of difficulty, then there's even more ease and allowance. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.